These niggas is pissed.
Hey!
Her booty ain't big as your ass. It's me. Talk to my babe, she sassy. Got my brother together, we blessed. I got the money, we cashin'. I got the money, we cashin'. No Bobby, baby, I'm a package. I'm who she tryna claim.
That was cool. She gon' play with my Johnson. Yeah, so like, I thought when I was looking for that song, I was looking for the original to mess around with. But when I found that remix, that was tight.
Yeah.
The following contains content not suitable for the youth under the age of 17 without adult supervision. So if you would, please go ahead and either remove the youth out of the room or wherever you may be in the car, or take a better time to listen to this some other time. We'll give you a few seconds. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to aisle 7. My name is Savage. This is my wife,
Liti.
We're in the Cove right now, our home base of operations. At the end of the day, this is beach talk for the long walk. I don't know why I got caught up. Anyways, moving right along. We would like to thank our sponsors, Anchor, for the free distribution of our podcast. We don't take that lightly, so go ahead and download the app. Look us up at Aisle 7, the podcast. At the end of the day, I keep saying that. It's about self-progress. Anyways, I'm losing it right now. So we're going to go ahead. This episode is dedicated to
my cousin Amelia Ova. That's you. She recently passed away, returned home and, you know, be with our father. And I just want to pray for the family.
Yes,
you know,
definitely.
It's still fresh. And I just want to give them, you know, pray peace over them.
Prayers and thoughts
over them at this moment, because I know it's still hurt them to this day, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I met her briefly at my cousin's wedding. Very nice young lady. And, you know, like I said, again, for me and my wife, I'll send the podcast to you guys, our prayers and thoughts and condolences.
Yes.
It's been a lot of funerals since the beginning of the year. Anyways, moving right along. Today's song of the day comes by way of Gwen Stefani, Sweet Escape. This was released in 2006. Where you at when you heard this song?
Yeah. 2006. I was still in high school, but
I think I dropped out by that time.
I can see that.
Alright, so yeah. That was Sweet Escape by Gwen Stefani featuring Akon, released in 2006. I don't know what you were doing by that time, but if you remember your flashback or whatever came across your mind when you heard this, you know, just reminisce. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and tag us to a video of you vibing to it on Instagram and at @owl_7_thepodcast. Yeah, so moving on. Our thought of the day. If you believe in someone, you are making an investment. Mm-hmm. If you believe in someone, you're making an investment. Dwell on that. What do you get from that?
Yeah, it's true. As investing in something that they're pushing to make something out of it.
Yeah.
You know, almost kind of like a career or like a dream, you know. Something that you yourself see ahead of that person, you see them,
see their future,
You know. Not saying that they don't think that.
No, you're right. I think what's important is that if you take the time to actually believe in a person, and what it means to invest in that person is that you're actually checking up on that person and what they're doing.
Yeah.
As far as them being passionate about it. So, yeah. If you believe in someone, that's an investment in and of itself.
Yeah.
You feel that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Moving on. Our number of the day comes by way of the number 4. Wherever you're at when you see this or come across the number, dwell in the moment.
Yes.
Our color of the day.
Color of the day is orange.
If you see it, say it. Orange.
Orange.
Yeah, that's orange.
Is this orange?
Our person of the day is Princess Victoria Kaiulani of Hawaii, or Hawaii.
Or Hawaii.
The last heir to the throne of Hawaii in the 1800s. Go ahead and do your research and studies on Princess Kaiulani. It's a very tragic and sad story as far as the last monarchy of that era, but how she carried herself is why it's important to get to know her, because she is a part of history. So, Princess Kaiulani. I'll go ahead and research that.
Yep.
Our quote of the day. Would you like to read that?
Yes. Dare for dance and leave shame at home.
Yes. Dare for dance and leave shame at home. That's an old Hawaiian proverb. I believe it just means that if you're going to be bold and stand out, leave the shame. You know, just go all out and be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So dare for dance and leave shame at home.
Mm-hmm.
Old Hawaiian proverbs. Goal of the week. Read one full chapter of any book. Before you go to sleep, one full chapter of any book before you go to sleep. We will definitely be doing that.
I think we've been doing that.
Yeah, we're always studying at night, so moving forward. A congratulations we would like to give is to our brothers down not only at the Tough Blog Podcast, but their launching of iGuy Media.
Yes,
Monix and DJ Tufele, the Tufele brothers. Hey, shout out to you guys. This congratulations is to you
the
guys.
The Tongan brothers. I mean, Tufele brothers.
Our workout tip, squats. Hey, it's summer season. Get your butt up. So, yeah, get your squats in. Today's PI scene that we would like to highlight on the PI scene is our brother Monix of the Tough Block Podcast and iGuy Media. And I just had a few moments to speak with him via DMs and ask him a few important questions as far as things that are pertaining to his career. So I'm going to go ahead and share that conversation in brief detail. Monix is from Las Vegas, Nevada. He represents Team Gracie Humaita. He's a practitioner of jiu-jitsu. So, yes, Team Gracie Humaita of Blue Diamond. He's independent because he does not identify with Republicans or Democrats as far as being a, you know, political person, though I don't believe he, you know, he tries to highlight that as much in his career. But yes, he does believe he's independent, does not identify with Republicans or Democrats. He's all about human rights, always doing what's right. He believes everyone should be allowed to do whatever the hell they want as long as it's not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
I think that's important to always
to
highlight is that whatever you're doing, just as long as it hurts nobody, by all means, go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to become an entertainer and ultimately build a platform to uplift our people and others we believe in. That's very, very uplifting to just hear. He believes that this is a passion that he wants to turn into a job. As far as being an entertainer, he wants to, you know, if he has a passion behind it, I think what he wants to do with it is turn it eventually into a job that sustains and provides for him and his family. So, yeah, that's if you're not aware of that, go and check the dude out. Monix at Tough Blog Podcast at iGuy Media. See some of his content. The purpose of why he's pursuing this is he would like to entertain in any form, mainly so definitely to entertain and inspire our people to show them that we can do anything, not just what the system tries to push onto us, but to lift up as many people that he can along the way, that he can along the way. That's very, very
deep. That's
good. I mean, that's very forward thinking.
Yeah.
Moving forward as far as his dreams, his dream is to do what he loves, and which is why he's still being heavily involved in his son, his family's lives. Was that a firework?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just distracted by a firework. To live comfortably and make sure his family is comfortable and to showcase his different talents. That's his dream. That he always tries to make... I skipped ahead of myself. So sorry. I'm off of it today. Something wrong with me. Anyways, going back. overall, what he wants people to remember about him when it's all said and done is that he always tried to make you laugh and put a smile on your face through the hard times and the good times. So
that's good.
And the most important thing that when he's not doing what he's doing as far as his career, he's usually being with his son and just practicing jiu-jitsu. Two things about him that puts his mentality to ease. Shout out to our brother Monix of Tough Blog Podcast and iGuy Media.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sitting down with us and taking time to highlight you as a feature on our PI scene.
Yeah.
And definitely, tap in with him. You can catch him on his handles as far as I believe he has a Twitter, though I don't. I got to put that somewhere around here. You'll see it. Instagram is at Monix, MONIKKZ _. Also, iGuy Media, I'll have that somewhere around here too. And they do have a YouTube channel, if you don't already know, DJ and Monix Tufele of the Tough Blog Podcast. Shout out to you guys. Much love. Moving back to our segments. So, do you have any opening statements?
Opening. Stay in your season.
Yes, opening.
Stay in your season and stay there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's definitely important to just stay in it.
Yeah, stay in it. Doesn't matter if it's bad or good. Stay in it.
Yeah. As far as for my opening statement, I think it's really, really important that if you're at home alone, practice things you never normally do. Like, I mean, if you don't normally clean, try cleaning. If you don't normally do the laundry, try doing the laundry. If you do not normally take out the trash or wash the car or walk the dog, do those things. I mean, what harm could it do to you if you're just at home by yourself? It's not like you're doing anything else.
Yep.
Anyways, so at this point of the segment, we would really like to always highlight this because to us, it's really important if we cannot get this done, we can't move anywhere or do anything with our lives. It's prayer point. It's our point of prayer before we get the show started. So is there anything you'd like to say before we already made the opening statement, but as far as being in that spiritual thinking, is there anything you'd like to highlight before we pray?
Yeah, it's just giving him all the glory from the beginning and the end and ending of your day. It feels so good, you know, to start up with him. You know, sometimes when you don't, I mean, not to say that we're better than you, try it, man. I'm telling you, it refreshes your day. It gets you to think straight. And even just ending with it, it's almost kind of like a family time. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, putting it aside. Especially if you have family involved.
Yeah. Or even just yourself, if you want to just do that. It actually helps you throughout your day. And ending it with it, it gives you a good day.
Okay. You know? That's cool. Yeah. As far as like just highlighting something before we pray, you know, to anybody who is going through it negatively or just depressed or whatever you might be going through, anybody in pain for the loss of a loved one, anybody in pain for, you know, just being lost and misguided, we'll definitely have you in our thoughts and prayers in this prayer point. So with that being said, we're going to start prayer point now. Oh, definitely. I received that.
Yep, I received that. Thank you.
So, yeah, it's episode 2. We're a little bit ahead of schedule. I don't know why, but I don't have my Nerf gun. So, usually at this point, I'm shooting the haters. Bah, bah, bah. But.
Yeah. So, yeah, start, you know, praying first and everything that you do. Even if you're not a believer, I'm telling you, it's really good to really practice that. It gives you a free mind, you know. It gets you to schedule your day out. It gets you to just be on time with everything. It doesn't stress you out.
Yeah. So, definitely. One thing I do want to talk about as far as last week when we dropped episode 1 of season 2, the opening. Thank you for all the feedback about just the content alone. You know, when we posted about the whole, I guess, subject of the identification of Polynesian, a lot of you guys and your feedback definitely, man, that moved us. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for that. It wasn't that we were trying to tear down the word Polynesian. It was just that me and my wife no longer identify with it because we believe it's not accurate to our standards.
Yeah.
So shout out to everybody who just commented, shared, and liked that video or just even watched the first episode of season 2. That meant so much to us that you guys had a lot to say. So thank you. Always keep supporting. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can listen to us on Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcasts, and Radio Public, and wherever
and
you
many
can.
Many more that's going to come.
I mean, we're definitely speaking life into this thing. Yeah. I mean, regardless of the sponsors yet, which will be coming, but everything that we envisioned about this podcast is slowly but surely coming to fruition. And I just want to say thank you for being a part of this journey.
Thank you. Thank you for, you know, coming up with content and just putting all this thing together. I see the support. And like I said in season 1, it's not even about for the clout, you know, like it's not even about that. It's just like if you take one little thing from what we're giving out, that's all it takes. You know, it doesn't even matter if it's more than one or two. That's very disrespectful.
I'm so sorry for saying that.
No, but I want to tell you, that I am thankful and I'm grateful to have you as a partner.
Oh,
and pushing this is I wouldn't have it with anyone
mushy,
else.
Mushy.
You already are.
As you can already tell, if you're not watching us, if you're just listening to us, kind of switched up a little bit. We're filming at a different part of the Cove. Cove obviously being our home base of operations. Keyword home. We're trying to go along with this thing.
Yeah.
Other than that, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll get started with our discussion. So go ahead, drive slow, work out safely.
Don't go nowhere.
Clean slowly, and go get some water. We'll come right back. We're back, and we're jumping right into the discussions. Before we do, I'd like to just apologize. I was fumbling in the first quarter, so I apologize about that. But I'm back on my focus. I think I just had too much in my mind.
And also, I just wanted to touch up on before we went on break. If you can see, we have a little bit of, like our background and everything. We wanted it to where it's just normal. It's not like we're so structured to where like, oh, we got to put that in the back. No. We wanted it to where it feels normal, where we just flow right in. And this is just it, you know, just a couple who just shooting in at their home. And just as comfortable as you are talking to you guys, we wanted it to where it's comfortable for us as well, you know, to just...
I'm just
go diving in.
I'm sweating. I'm sorry.
So if you see a difference, that we're trying to like just move around and see.
Just feel the vibe.
feel the vibe. Yeah.
Our seven subjects of discussion.
Yes.
Number one, entanglement.
Ooh.
Number two, therapeutics. Number three, coaching versus training. Number four, Epstein Island. Number five, parenting is a privilege. Number six, domestic abuse. Number seven, discipline is not traditional.
Oh, wow.
So, where would you like to start first, my love?
Since I've always started in the beginning of the first season, you go ahead.
What are you talking about?
I always choose.
Stop with you trying to go chivalrous. we're going to go ahead and speak on entanglement.
Oh, as easy man.
As it is. So, as you can tell, earlier this week... Will and Jada dropped that episode of Red Table Talk addressing what August Alsina had to say about him and Jada's, I don't know if it's a relationship or a friendship, but you know, I think everybody's pretty much aware of the situation. Why we're going to talk about it and discuss it is that we're putting ourselves in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk about what their whole situation is. We're going to talk about as if it was us. And I commend both Will and Jada. I respect them for what they did because it takes not only a lot of guts, but because when you're on that platform that high in front of the world, thousands. It's important to remember that they're human beings.
That's right.
You know, the millions and millions of the world saw them expose themselves and become transparent to the point where it's like, once it's out there, it cannot come back. But I think the important thing was we saw them work through it, right? So regardless of the whole entanglement drama, it's the fact that we saw two human being adults reconcile and fix something. What do you think about that?
I think it's none of anybody's business. Mm-hmm. Because whether if it was at the time of her weakness or him, vice versa, I mean, it really doesn't matter who it is. It's just like, first of all, for me and my point of view, it's just minding your own business. But for them to really come out there and really speak on it and really put it out there, it's almost kind of like my husband said, they're in a higher platform that they're risking their career as well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So it's
possible.
It's like almost kind of like for them to talk on it, for them to come back and
you can lose a lot of followers.
Follow us and just, you know, families as well. But for that to be put out and people just like throwing even more fire into it, it's kind of like, you know what, at least they work through it. You know, we're human being, we're bound to make mistakes. You know, not saying that's what we're looking forward to do, but just saying that we're gonna make mistakes. I mean, me and my husband, we didn't just get here today. You know,
yeah,
we had to go through.
It
was a journey that we had to go through. And a lot of it had to do with going through a lot to really dig into each other's skin to know where each other is at. And for example, when they come out and they speak their truth and whatever the case may be, it's the fact that they spoke on it. It's the fact that they let it out and let it be known. Because it wasn't to prove anybody. Because they could care less. They've already, they're set for life. It was really for me and my husband, we take it as like, they work through it. You know what I mean? So that's what I got from it.
Yeah, I think the one thing we should all remember as adults, regardless if we're all married or single,
mm-hmm.
is that it was two adults and we as a community should normalize this is that they really broke down the details. And instead of arguing with each other, they argued against the problem. You know, and even
yes.
if it wasn't an argument, they were addressing the problem together. I think ultimately that's what being a couple whether you're, you know, if you're a believer or not, if you're a believer, you know, being under the covenant, or if you're not, working together is such an important quality as a couple to address the problem. Don't address each other, address the problem. Yeah. And that's what we saw firsthand with Will and Jada in the whole entanglement thing.
Yeah.
That's what we took away from it, was the positivity in that, is that I've made many mistakes. Me personally, I'm surprised my wife has taken me back as many times as she has. And Jesus Christ, that's our kid. Sorry. Stop. Stop. All right. Anyways, so moving forward, I apologize about the interruption. Things go crazy in the house of Savage. Anyways, but I know I've made many mistakes, and I'm fortunate to have a wife who will work through those mistakes with me rather than against me, because it's important to highlight each other serving each other, even through the hard times. Like, my wife has served me through the hardest and dumbest times of my life, and I've served her in the darkest, most roughest times of her life. And I think that was what we witnessed as far as with Will and Jada's entanglement, was that Will, as far as you can see the emotion in his eyes, knew that this is a good woman that he wants to keep. So it's not about losing her, but it's about understanding why she might have went through that. And, you know, Jada was more or less very, very open about her confession and why. And if we can't normalize that, then our community is always going to be broken when it comes to, you know, marriage counseling.
Yeah. So it's like people are so quick to just attack the negativity, you know.
It's easy to be negative.
What do you get from that? You know what I mean? It's like, whether if they were telling the truth or not, it's really none of our business. It's like really them coming out and just saying, hey, man, if you try this, we took it as like, you don't even have to be a believer.
Yeah.
It's just like, we took it as like, you know what, they were trying to work their problems out, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But if you asked me years back,
yeah,
I would have been like, man, she did that. Nah, it's really like, you got to grow with each other to understand how it is from each other's perspective. So,
okay. Well, yeah. I'm peaceful with good that, with honestly. That. Because like you said in the beginning, it's just not none of our business, but it's yeah, important to bring in the context
yeah,
and details why that was an important event.
Yeah.
That's how all couples should model themselves to be.
So yeah,
as far as entanglement, we're settled with that.
Yeah, I'm good
so
with that.
We have six subjects left. What do we do? Therapeutics, coaching, risk training, Epstein Island, parenting is a privilege, domestic abuse, discipline is not traditional.
Parenting is a privilege.
Okay, so what I meant to highlight there in that subject was that some people just should not have kids. I'm so sorry to say that, but I have to be that blunt. There are some people who got lucky and just had kids that shouldn't be having those kids, because it is a blessing. It is a privilege to have kids. The position in being a parent is that of being a teacher, is that of being a mentor, it's that of being, you know, a leader, a role model. And if you don't take that serious, why did you have the kid in the first place? Especially when it comes to the care and the resources to take care of that kid. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So go ahead. I mean, do you want to speak?
Yeah, I'm with that wholeheartedly. And it's like, it may sound like we're coming off insensitive,
because
I know there's different cases of people trying to have kids, people trying to make something out of, like, you are not supposed to have a kid. But, oh, you know what? Let me take that back. Maybe you're not ready to have a kid.
Yeah. That's nine times out of ten when it is, you're not prepared.
Yeah, you're not prepared. And to be honest, I'll speak on my behalf. Before I became a mother, I wasn't ready. It wasn't all there. But there was something higher than me that saw that I didn't see. But if we stay through it, like I've always said, it's like, stay through it, you will learn that, oh man, it, you know, becoming a mom is the best thing to me. Like, mother is, as or mom is the best title that I've ever held for myself.
Yes.
You know, so when I see people like trying to do, like, going through the science, or, you know, trying to have babies and things like that, and then you go and try to do fundraiser, you know what I mean? And I'm not speaking for just in our culture; it's all over. Why doing that if you weren't ready to have, you know, if you weren't blessed with a kid, you know?
Can I say
something?
Yeah. So, like, my wife had read an article earlier this week about a couple who was trying everything and anything to have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
they were trying, you know, artificial insemination, trying adoption, trying, you know, impregnating the spouse.
Yeah.
But the thing about it was, it came to a point once they had the kid, then they had to fundraise financially, I don't know, because of the whole pandemic, to take care of the kid. This is current. This is current. This is just a recent event. And it's like, if you were not prepared to have that kid, regardless of the pandemic or the quarantine,
that's
what it means to be a parent, is to be even prepared when you're unprepared.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's almost like you gotta be, even if you weren't prepared, is the fact that you basically try to say, like, I want a kid, but I don't want to work for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to tell you, like, parenting is such a privilege, because I myself didn't know that when I first become a mother. You know what I mean? And when now, for like 7 years later, I'm grateful. You know what I mean? 7 years later.
Yeah. I think the important thing to remember too is that we're not, in no way, shape, or form, is me and my wife saying it's easy. That's not what we're saying. We're saying it's a serious 24/7 job, like paying attention to the details as close as you can. Because any mistake that you make or any day you take off could mean that child's development. So when we're reading this article and these people are doing everything in their power to have a baby, and then when you have the baby, you realize this actually takes a lot to take care of a baby. That hurts to know we have those kind of people in our community, because if you weren't prepared, you should have never done it. Yeah. But we're not highlighting the bad part about that. It's just that that's how serious parenting is a privilege means to us.
Yeah.
And why we wanted to highlight that. So how do you feel,
like,
about that?
Yeah, just leave it alone. And you know what?
Let God take ready, it. Yeah, if you're not ready, just let it go.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next subject, I get to choose this one. This will be brief. It's Epstein Island. If you don't know who Jeffrey Epstein is, you go ahead and look that up. Look that dude up. Watch the documentary on Netflix. I mean, this guy's pretty prominent, so I'm pretty sure you heard something about him. But Jeffrey Epstein died last year, committed suicide in his jail cell. Why I'm highlighting this is Epstein Island is a place in the Mexican Gulf, in the Caribbean waters, I believe, where this man, Jeffrey Epstein, bought an island and committed acts of horror and illegal activities such as sex trafficking, child pornography, child molestation, and sexual assault. And the people he was entangled with are the ones, you know, that are left behind after his death. So right now, I mean, there's a lot of speculation on it with Wayfair and all these things to be spoken on. But, I mean, just do your research on it, because these things are happening in front of us and we don't know how to deal with it because we're not aware of it. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of it either. You know, like when me and you was watching the
documentary
on Netflix, what caught my attention is, like, even women out there, like older women, who's helping into doing this. You know what I mean?
Recruiting.
So you gotta be, like, really aware of your surrounding, who you're around with, who you have your kids to be watched by. It's crazy, you know. Like, I just watched this thing. Do you remember when I showed you there was like an article that I had read of someone saying they should, like, close down the do you remember that article that I showed you?
Yeah.
It's just crazy that it's getting this.
It was not the theater, but I know you're talking about to close down that organization.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the article.
Yeah, but I've been doing a lot of reading and just seeing how disgusting that, you know, that people out there. There's people out there that's doing that. You know what I mean? And like I said, just like my husband said, just do your research, you know, look into it, because you never know. It could be your neighbor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
it could be the people that you're affiliating yourself with every day. Yeah. So I pray that you open your eyes and, you know, just...
Yeah, I think it's just important to just be aware that this information is out there and it could be the thing that saves the next person's life.
Yes.
So, I'm good with that. So, yeah,
that
was really brief only because we didn't have too much time to speak on that. Not only because we don't have passion into it, but just to highlight that exists.
And just bringing awareness.
Yes.
That's really what it is.
There are rings of people out there trying to hide this
and
keep the activities going.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we're going to take our next break. Go ahead, get some water, get something to snack on, or even just, you know, make sure the kids aren't listening in. And we'll come right back to the discussion. All right. Yeah. Hey guys, welcome back. Jumping right back into the discussion. We have therapeutics, coaching versus training, domestic abuse. Discipline is not traditional. What would you like to choose since I spoke on Epstein Island last?
Ooh, discipline is not... Oh, actually, no. Coaching versus training.
Okay. So, coaching versus training. All this has to do with, you know, my passion about this. And yeah. I'm very deeply passionate about coaching young, not only young people, but just people in general. And I've trained them all. I've coached them all. But one thing I do not condone or I do not support or I'm not in affiliation with is trainers out there who claim to be coaches, because this is a very distinct difference in the two, right? So when you train, you only train in that specific sport or that event. When you coach, you not only coach the sport, but even the life after, right? Because everything you coach at that during that particular training session is life lessons. Sometimes you're not going to make it to the NFL. Sometimes you're not going to make it to the NBA. And that's okay, but there's a life after that. And everything I'm coaching you to learn here is skills that you can use even after your time and tenure of pursuing that career. So how do you feel about that?
You know, it's crazy that we're bringing that up. After just playing, you know, I'm very athletic. And it's not to bring it out like, you know, try to be cocky or anything like that. It was just like I wasn't taught right. So when you say that, it only brings me back to people who didn't know how to coach and people who didn't know how to train. So, like, you can almost get those people to go astray. You know what I mean? Like, and that's exactly how I feel. Like, being an athlete and, like, you have people that just because you're passionate with that sport alone, you think you're a trainer. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Or, like, just because you're passionate with something that you like, all of a sudden you want to be a coach. It's almost like, because I've been around a lot of coaches, I can't really point out a lot of good coaches because I've had a lot of bad ones versus good ones. You know what I mean?
You've had more bad coaches than...
Yeah, and it wasn't that. It was almost, it made me as an athlete had bad attitude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of the fact that you yourself couldn't be a coach. You know what I mean? You did it. It wasn't even about going to school and getting like a certificate or anything like that. It was more so like you just didn't, I'm sorry to say, but you didn't know what you're doing. You know what I mean? And it's almost like when I look at trainer, those trainer don't even know what they're doing either. You know what I mean? It's like you can really mess somebody up mentally, physically, and emotionally, spiritually too. And I had to say this. I thank you for that because you saved me from that. You know, literally, because you came into my life when I was playing all this sport, hurting myself, not getting the proper stretch, not getting the proper training, not getting the proper coach. And I wanted to fight everybody because of the lack of understanding that I have because of them as well, you know? Yeah. So with that being said, that's all I wanted to say. I get so passionate about it.
I hear
because you know how it is. Like,
just that's the athlete in So thank you for that. Also, just to you know, piggyback off what you said, you helped me along the way refine my coaching.
Yeah.
I want to open the discussion of this subject, coaching versus training, with this. Anybody can train, but not everybody can coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important statement because, you know, you can go on YouTube, you can, you know, you can mimic what you see at the parks or in the gyms. But one thing about it for sure is when you speak, when you teach, when you're actually out there putting the schematics to an athlete, that you cannot duplicate. That has to come from the heart.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of good coaches and many great coaches out there in the world. I've had, I'm fortunate enough to have been under very great tutelage under some great coaches that have changed my life effectively. And I thank each and every one of you. And I love you for that because all that life you spoke into me, I can now spread that message, right? I don't want to make it sound like some pastorhood, but I had an issue earlier this week. Shout out to my Street Beefs family, Street Beefs community. It's a club. It's not a show. But, you know, I had an issue with a guy on social media in the Instagram group chat where this guy was basically, he was critically critiquing or constructively, I guess he was talking shit about one of the fighters in Street Beefs. If you're not aware of what Street Beefs is, I gotta talk about it in another episode. But Street Beefs is an underground fighting circuit in a backyard, And one of the fighters just kind of showcased his abilities in a little 15-second clip on a video. And this guy gets under and shits on him. And he's a coach, or supposedly. Why I called him a trainer was the things he was highlighting are things that can easily be fixed. But him being a coach shouldn't be putting down athletes like that when you yourself are coaching athletes yourself. If you talk shit about an athlete like that, what are you saying about your own athletes?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I know in today's climate, it's so hurtful to see a lot of these Instagram startup pages that do fitness pages. When I see the things they promote, okay, some people are all about, you know, health, fitness, empowerment, yeah, or even just like bringing awareness to certain sicknesses and healths. But when you're misleading people, mistraining people, misguiding people, that's the part that hurts me, which is why I take coaching very, very much to heart, and I go 100% hard in it. It's because I'm changing people's life, not for the sport, but for their own well-being. Yeah. I do that mentally, spiritually, and physically to the max, and I take it to the heart. So when I see these coaches out there training, 9 times out of 10, you're actually a trainer. You're not a coach because you don't speak life. You're just training them for a little piece of life. So, yeah, that's all I have to say about that. And fuck that guy, that asshole that me and him got into it on that Instagram beef. So
I still got something to say. It's just like just bring me back like memories of like there's times where like coaches can really bad mouth a player or an athlete. Man. And it took you to a whole different level. It's like, I'm not getting emotional because I'm mad. I'm getting emotional because I don't want that being done to my kids. Because I know they're gonna be.
I know that
they're gonna be so athletic, you know, because of how great of an athlete I am. You know what I mean?
They get it and off so from like,
mom. and it took my husband like to really come and really just take time to really see what the passion that I had behind it.
Yeah.
And it's like I had to put up this front because a lot of coaches mistreated me. You know what I mean? A lot of coaches still talk behind my back. You know, and it's not even like being it's just a very very like I'm glad that you brought that up because like it's some people are not aware of it, you know.
Yeah.
Now that it's brought to my attention, it's like I'm still grateful because after I had to change my attitude, I had to change the way I think. I was doing really great that year that you coached me. Do you remember?
Yeah. My wife, first of all, she's talking about her rugby career. My wife has played women's rugby for damn near 10 plus years now. And she's gone through some pretty bad resumes of coaches. But nevertheless, she never gave up on herself. And she just understood that there's some things you can't change about coaches, and there's some things you can change about yourself to make yourself better. So
yeah, I won't forget that. I think that was the first year I've ever got the most like, you know, recognition, and it wasn't even that's what I wanted. That wasn't even that. So like when you had trained me throughout that whole season, I not only changed my attitude, changed the way I am, I was a better athlete. You know what I mean? So coaching and training, they're very important, but you gotta do what your research. You gotta do the right thing instead of just doing it for the clout chasing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just so, get the follows.
Yeah,
and the views.
Get the follower and the views and things
in
like
today's
that.
Today's climate. Yeah, I mean that's. I feel good about that. I just wanted to know one more thing. I've been around coaches who allow people to play games based on how they viewed them because of favoritism.
Yeah.
And not because of the actual skill and the hard work of a person.
Yeah.
And that always kills me. That there's people out here who grind in day out and day in. There's people out there who grind day in and day out to get a starting spot, but they're overlooked simply because of favoritism, because a coach likes another player versus a person's work ethic.
That's
so fair. Anyways.
Thank you.
I'm good with that.
I'm good with that.
Moving on. So my wife chose coaching versus training. I'm going to go ahead and speak on therapeutics. Basically, my whole mindset on therapeutics is, what are you doing when you're not working or, you know, you're not pushing your career? What are you doing to bring peace to yourself, to bring enjoyment? Sometimes, like, when was the last time you really had fun doing something outside of work or your career? Because we got to always remember as human beings, we need to let our foot off the gas pedal every so often when we're just grinding. What do you do for therapy?
honestly, is this podcast, I've said it many times. Other than us having a schedule to when we shoot and all that, I do cleaning. Yeah,
I surprise most people. This is an underrated thing, but not a lot of people understand why that's therapeutic.
Yeah, I do that. I noticed that just a little earlier before we shoot this, I was a little frustrated. I was irritated. And immediately I caught myself cleaning. Like, just cleaning. Like, things was just out of the, like, it wasn't organized.
Out of order.
Out of order. So when I started cleaning, I not only calmed myself down, you know, I said some hurtful things that it's just not me, but when I come back and you know, apologize, I feel stupid thinking about it because I had to take the cleaning to really calm my mind down. You know what I mean? Like, everything is okay. You need to chill out. Yeah. But I find myself cleaning. I found myself worshiping. When I play music, it could be just one song.
My wife's always on the gospel playlist. Yeah, she's singing
I'm always
all her gospel
singing.
Music.
It takes one song and I'm good for the rest of the day. So, yeah, that's what I find myself doing. What about you?
Won't he do it?
Won't he do it?
You know, yeah, just speaking on your behalf about something, I think cleaning in turn represents your mind.
Yeah.
When it's so clogged up and clustered with all these thoughts,
yeah.
I think, like, in a
it's
funny
like
way,
dirty.
It's like the things you're cleaning and picking up is the thoughts in your mind. to get to clear and
exactly.
remove, you know?
Exactly.
So that's pretty cool. For me, as far as things of therapeutic nature that brings therapy to me, my wife wouldn't agree, but, you know, games.
No, I find it understanding.
Until I get pissed off and then you're like, oh, man, can you relax?
Oh, gosh.
I just I'm very competitive. I'm a gamer. I'm definitely a gamer. You can catch me. I'll be having my Twitch starting up pretty soon. So follow me on my Twitch channel at Savage Island, SAVGE Island. But anyways, moving forward to games, I watch anime or, you know,
comics.
Animation. I read comics. I'm always watching
you're a
Netflix.
Nerd.
I work out, which is majority of what I do for therapy. I work out. And, you know, I'm always just trying to do something different. Not to keep my mind occupied. Not that. Because I don't have bad thoughts. But when I do have bad thoughts, I need therapy. Because a lot of times when I'm working or, you know, just grinding it out, sometimes I'll forget to just have some fun. You know, that's important to have therapeutic or have therapy time to yourself. So you always remember that you're just a human being. You're not a machine.
Yeah.
You got to take care of yourself mentally, physically, and health, and spiritual. You know, there's some people who pray, some people who go to church, some people
or read.
Who find devotion time.
Yeah.
And I'm diving into a lot of venues to find different ways of therapy. So,
yeah.
I mean, some people go to spas, some people try out new restaurants, some people just go hiking, some people even go to the lake or.
Just finding something to distract
your
mind.
Or just drive
mind,
around,
you know,
for
like,
an hour, you know?
Yeah.
Or listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Hey. But,
no, but for real, like that, all of that is so true. Because, like, I even find myself, like, I'm so excited to look forward to podcasting. It's like, I got so much to say. Like, I got so much that I've been hoarding all week, you know?
Yeah.
And before, I used to be like, oh my gosh, we got to shoot again. But now it's like, I let it out, you know. Whether
hey, go back to season one, watch every episode till season two, and watch my wife's development in speaking. Just watch it. I'm telling you, you see the amazing change.
Besides the fact that
this is therapy for her.
I didn't like talking because I hate being a fob. I used to hate that because I would always get made fun of, you know, and I didn't like that. But I overcame that. Because Asuelu...
why do you use expensive words?
No,
yo, baby,
I overcame that because now a lot of fobs are very, very successful.
So, hey, you know, some of the smartest people are fobs. And if you're not aware of a fob,
your mom's a fob.
Yeah, fresh off the boat. A person who is fresh off the boat from another country. An immigrant, basically.
Yeah.
You're aware of who these people are. We're just highlighting them as fob. It's not bad or derogatory.
It's not I used to hate it. And that was the lack of my understanding. But now I'm very proud because it's like I speak another language. You know what I mean?
That's something
we
all don't have the privilege
of. So the thing is, it's like now talking and even if I fob out or whatever, I'm so proud of it. I own up to it, so.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm good with it.
So, yeah, take some time to be therapeutic or, you know, do some therapy for yourself.
Yeah.
Don't get so caught up. We're going to take another break and come back to the last quarter and finish it out. So
yes.
Go get something done. All right, coming right back. Okay, so we're back here to end the discussion. It's the fourth quarter, and things are going to, you know, be a little bit more serious tone. So we ask to guard your hearts and really be aware of the following subjects. Do contain very, very violent content, but I do this with love. We do this with understanding that we are no longer slaves to or condemned to our past, but we are healed and blessed with the future we have now under the God we believe in, Jah the Almighty. Yes, I love you.
Love you
and
too.
I just want to tell you that you've taken me to places I never thought I could be, not even just physically, but spiritually, and discover things about myself I never thought I could fix. But the next two subjects is very serious. We don't condone it. And if there's anybody you know who's going through it, please reach out and help them. Domestic abuse and discipline is not traditional. What would you like to speak on?
We can talk about domestic abuse.
Okay. I've hit my wife before. I've actually done it a couple times. And it came from a place of abuse in my own life. I haven't done it since, and I've worked through it. And I'm not asking for sympathy or anybody to feel sorry for me. Feel the way you want to feel, but I know in my heart that my wife has helped me through that. And it's something about when you hit the person you love, the look in their face of fear of somebody they love. Right, like if I hit my wife and she looks at me like she doesn't recognize me, that hurts. It's not cool. It's just not the manly thing that you just don't hit. First of all, don't hit women, don't hit girls, don't hit a female. But to do it out of anger, of a temporary anger, just to be like, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. No. No, you got to fix yourself. Like, brother, you got to listen to me, and you got to listen to me good. There's a lot of pain in men like me and you, whoever's listening, that when we don't search through that pile of trash that we call our thoughts and our mind and our body and our heart, we pile up and we pile up and we pile up. And eventually, you have to put that trash somewhere else. And sometimes we project that trash onto the ones we love. And sometimes, like more times than not, it's the one closest to us, which could be our spouse. I hit my wife, and it's the most, I'm not crying because I know I've grown through it, but I hit my wife, and the feeling that I got after doing it was like, why did I do it if I'm going to feel this way anyways? And I got to attribute my help to my Lord and Savior God, because it took something spiritually for me to clean myself sorry, there's my kids. I don't mean to laugh. That's not funny. But to clean myself of my thoughts and my past hurts and stop projecting those pains onto somebody else like my wife. I don't want to make it seem like I was consistently beating my wife, but the times that I did, which was really, really still traumatic, I'm surprised she didn't leave me. Because what I need you guys to understand is that my wife is better without me. She can leave me at any point in time. Sometimes I forget my wife is better off without me. She can just leave this, and I'll be fucked over more than I was before I was with her than after. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to tell you, babe, I thank you for this journey. Thank you for growing with me. Thank you for being there patiently, waiting for me to grow up from a boy, because that took a lot of guts for me to say, because I know there's a lot of men out there like me who won't admit that they're doing it. And that's the first step to take, is that it's not only wrong, but if you're doing it, say you're doing it and look for help, because your kids could be watching and you're basically grooming the next generation of women beaters. How do you feel about that?
Let me say my side. In the very beginning, I'm everybody knows I'm such a manly girl, like very. And the reason why I say this is not to like kind of cover what the subject is about. I used to be the one that would get on his face, hit there, smack there, do this, push him, want to be a man, you know what I mean? And the reason why I'm saying this is because it got to a point where, like, if you don't stop doing that, like, this is what's going to happen. When my husband smacked me on my face, the look, the feeling that I have, that I wanted everything to just go back. I wanted to kill him. That's exactly how I felt. But because us women, we sometimes don't know our place, there's got to be a man in the... And it, this whole thing is all messed up when both of you guys are trying to be the man of the relationship. Yeah. And it's not me to try to cover up what he does. It's also to show that women are not innocent themselves either. We can trigger things, we can push things, we can do this, and that's exactly what it was. And I'm not doing this to cover it up, to say like my man is this. Yeah, he did put his hand on me. But I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't consistent, but the fact that he did it, it almost like every time we would argue now, he caught himself. You know, and that right there is like, it's an effort of trying to be better, you know? And I'd rather take that and, like, when I was growing up, I see that every day from my auntie and uncle, you know, like, just beating her. And I used to tell myself, like, I would never, ever, sorry, my kids, I would never, ever, ever be with a man that'll be like that, you know? And when that happened, the one thing that it was running through my head was like, it's okay, I'm gonna be okay, you know? And I keep speaking that over me. And the thing is, like, that the fact that he realized it lets me know that you're a better person behind all of that. Whatever that you've gone through, you know, it's not who you are.
Yeah.
It's the thing that you hurt from the past. And like, I'm not saying this to, like, say it to, like, condone people, like, be with your man. Let me tell you something. If that happens and it continue to happen and you guys are not trying to work anything, yourself. You got to leave. I'm telling you, because I was so close to leaving, you know? But the one thing that I know was I had to work through it. I had to change myself as well. Like, us women, our mouth, it's very sharp. Sometimes we got to shut up, you know? And it's not, I'm not saying like, you know, I'm just saying it triggers something to where that happens, you know? And what I'm saying, that's, I'm not saying, oh, that's what I got. It's almost kind of like saying, you got to change yourself for this. Because we've been together for so long that, like, when he did it, I was like, this was just last year, you know? It almost like, if it didn't happen a couple of years when we were together, what's going on? Something is not right here, you know what I mean? And if he was going to continue to do it, you best believe I would have left. But it didn't, and it hasn't been. It's like the argument gotten less and less, and then, you know, our understanding in God has gotten better, you know? And I just want to tell you, babe, you have changed, and I thank you for that.
Love you. So, yeah, domestic abuse, man. We don't take that lightly, which is why we had to highlight this, because we didn't want to be hypocrites. If anybody should ever say that upon us, we know what we've done and we own up to that.
Yeah.
We just want to take our platform and be able to help somebody else free themselves up, because it's not right and it's not normal to do that. So please help yourself and help those around you.
And don't be embarrassed. It's okay. So
I'm good with that.
I'm good with that.
So moving on. Discipline is not traditional. And this is very important as well. I promise to you from this day forward on episode 2 of season 2, Aisle 7, the podcast, 2 representing the union between two people, that I will never touch our kids in a manner to abuse them. There are different ways to discipline our children, and I honestly am a believer now that we don't have to hit our kids. And I'm going to work every day in and out and put all my effort towards never touching my kids, but teaching my kids. There are different ways to discipline our children, and abusing them, I mean beating them, physically touching them to inflict damage or harm in a means to induce fear, that's wrong. I think what's important is that, for me, speaking from the view of a Christian, I am a Christian. I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and that we will one day meet again in heaven. But if we remember the story of Jesus and how he was crucified and beaten for, you know, a lack of understanding, because whether the Jews didn't understand who he was, they still did what they did. And it could seem, it may not be that big of a deal, it may be that big of a deal, but what I'm saying here is, to beat a child and have the lack of understanding that that kid cannot reciprocate or understand what you are telling them or trying to teach them, that hurts. Because I'm a victim of that, and I don't want to pass that on. So I promise you, babe, from this day forward, I will never touch our kids in that manner, in a means to inflict damage or induce fear, but I will promise to always teach them and use anything in my power and resources that I can to discipline them in other ways. So, sorry for that, but yeah, that's what I want to say. What do you feel?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've always, I think for my growing up, yeah, I was a victim of that as well. Just getting beat up and never explain themselves. And it's like, I'm carrying it on.
Yeah.
If I'm going to say that I'm going to break and end things carrying it on, I got to do that so I can have a better life with my kids. My kids don't deserve that. My kids don't deserve my luggage and the pain that I brought from my childhood over, you know. I had to cut it off. I got to cut it off to move on with my family and continuing teaching my kids, knowing that they don't have to fear me. You know, the one thing that I was thinking earlier, me and my husband was talking, I was thinking about, I think there's another reason why a lot of women and even men can't even come out and talk to their parents about certain subject because of the fear that they instill in us growing up. Because, like, if you do this, or if you become this...
Shut up.
Shut your mouth, because I will smack you, or I will beat you.
Can I say something?
Yeah, hold on. I will beat you.
I'm sorry, you just hit something. And
yeah, go ahead before you forget.
No, go ahead.
So, like, my thing is, I don't want to deal with my daughter doing something behind my back and go running to their auntie or their uncles or whoever else that they're closer to, that instead of telling me, that would hurt me. And that's exactly why I love this subject alone, is because it's to be aware.
I'm just
speaking about Pacific Islanders alone.
Yeah.
We do beat our kids. You know, let's admit.
We normalize it
and we're okay with it. And the thing is, even us kids, we'll be like, oh yeah, we're just going to get beat up. No, that's not okay. Being a parent, to be honest with you, they are young and don't know anything.
They're little
and
they're babies.
Their little mind is so innocent. Like, and it's like, you can't expect them. You know, I'll give you a prime example. My daughter, Mona Lisa, I love her for everything that she does. But because of the stress that I do over, like, or even like when I'm yelling, it's almost like I pass it all. Because I see her yelling at the other siblings, and it's like, you're not a mom, you know? But that's my fault, you know what I mean? So... yeah, like that. I have more, but you can go ahead.
Sorry. I don't believe naturally, even in origin, our people are violent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe we practice violent things or violent practices simply because a lot of what our history is about comes from colonizers or the colonizations of our islands and what they taught us. And a lot of that discipline nature came from the churches and Christianity brought to our islands. I honestly don't believe we were a violent people. I don't even think we normalized disciplining our kids, because we were teachers. Yeah. We were mentors. We were leaders in our communities, in our villages. And it's just hard for me to believe that maybe 1,000 years ago, or even 3,000, that we actually beat our kids. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, no, it's crazy that you say that, because it's almost kind of like from somebody's account that said that. You know what I mean? Like, somebody outside of the culture describing us. That said that, because of the lack of understanding that you might know about our culture, that maybe we were just, that's just how our culture was. Because a lot has changed from years back. But that's on another subject. All I'm saying is that, like, really change that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about in general. Okay. Like, beating isn't
Yeah. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back for an additional time. This is the first time ever to finish out this subject properly. So go ahead, get some water, get a snack, and we'll come back. Okay, so overtime, picking back where my wife left off. Go ahead, babe.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that, yeah, it was probably on somebody's account outside of the culture, you know, and the reason why I'm saying that is because they might have not understand our culture, you know, and just saw us doing, like, certain things, almost kind of like saying, like, oh, we got to do discipline. Because I'll be honest with you, growing up in Tonga, there was no such thing as discipline.
You just got beat,
you know, and then almost like they didn't have to warn you or anything. You just got beat because you did it.
It was almost like that reaction. Like,
yeah, like what the?
When somebody lift their hand.
So with that being said, like yeah, like that it was just total. I believe it. I agree with it. That I don't think there was even discipline was even
a thing to practice.
You know what I mean? To practice.
So this is the first time ever in IL-7 history that we were taking additional time, because this is a very serious subject and we just wanted to elaborate our thoughts on it, mm-hmm. and you know, not just leave things unsaid. But yeah, I definitely believe that colonizers or the colonizations of our islands, even though Tonga was never colonized, those European settlers still came over, mm-hmm. that they influenced our people so much that they projected their way of thinking onto us, yeah. right? Because violence, I don't believe, was a natural trait in our people. And I don't care what anybody says. You can read all the history books. But what I question is, who wrote those history books and if they were from our islands or from our culture? Because if they weren't, you need to reevaluate what they were interpreting and their perception of things. For me personally, I don't think we were a violent people. 3,000 years ago, I don't think we knew anything of violence because of how peaceful our paradises were. We had plentiful and many resources to our lifestyle, yet to think that we might have swam or traveled to other islands to take over and war with them, that doesn't make sense. I feel like normally we probably went over and bring peace and offerings to the other islands, but for some reason, when the settlers came, the history changed dramatically.
Yeah,
and now we're violent, we're savages. Yeah. It's unbelievable to me. And I just don't think it's normal to discipline our kids because it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
You don't need to make your kids fear you because that's a form of control. And you can't do that, especially if you're a believer in God. Only God can do that. Yeah.
It's almost kind of like saying, like, if Jesus say, if you sin today, what is he gonna do? You know what I mean? Like it's saying, like if I sin, he'll just, it's kind of like, it's almost like the same thing. He's just gonna So my thing is like going back to what you're saying about, you know, how they colonize us, right?
Yeah.
I almost feel like they saw how strong we were.
Yeah.
And how just naturally strong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they couldn't understand how.
It's funny that you say that.
Hold on.
Sorry.
It's almost how strong we are.
This whole thing.
How strong we are. And it's almost like they wanted to make us out to be something, you know, because they couldn't be that way.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think the important thing to highlight is that our people were definitely a faith-based people. We were a very spiritual. We were spiritually connected people before they brought their Christianity over. And that's the problem I'm having, is that when they brought Christianity over, discipline came by way of the churches.
Yeah.
Because they thought that if they would, you know, instill that fear into the people, that the control factor is you believe in our God, and if you don't, this is what happens.
Yeah.
And then we pass it on to generations. And look what happens now. We have, you know, young men and women who could possibly commit suicide because they never get to speak their truths because they're constantly getting beat for it.
Yeah, that's right. I have a lot more to say.
We got
to
take another episode for this. But yeah, this is another maybe installment, part two. Episode 2 of IL-7, the podcast. Yeah. We would like to thank you for tuning in and listening or watching. From me and my wife to you, we love you guys. We're still looking for sponsors.
Yes.
And, you know, we're just grateful to the man upstairs for always watching over us and taking care of us. We pray peace and healing over you. You want to say anything before we go?
Yes, man.
Final feast.
Yeah, I just want to tell you guys, stay in your research. Be aware of what's going on in this world. And just do your research, man. Yeah. Be aware of your surrounding as well. And just always give him the glory and honor.
Yeah. Huggies wipes is great against my ass. So I'm suggesting to you, use wipes to wipe your ass.
Just do me off.
Yeah. Well, other than that, we love you guys. Above all else, God bless.